Welcome to another episode of the West Virginia Soccer Association Beyond the Pitch podcast. My name is Marcus Cole, and with us today is Jennifer Schwartz, Alexandria Soccer Association Injury Prevention and Fitness Coordinator. Jennifer, welcome to the program.
Hello, and thanks for having me.
You're quite welcome. Why don't you go ahead, first things first, and give our audience just a little bit of background about you, along with your certifications and qualifications.
Okay. My name's Jennifer Schwartz. I've been at Alexandria Soccer Association as their injury prevention and fitness coordinator for about 5 years. We're just starting our fifth year. And before that, I was a coach at the academy that we have there, and I took my C license but didn't complete it. And outside of that, I have a muscle and injury prevention and chronic injury practice where I use muscle activation techniques to help people live active lives. A lot of my clients are adults with previous sports injuries. So essentially, I work on the whole spectrum of injury prevention. We don't want those injuries to come back, and I want to help the soccer community prevent injuries and help kids grow and thrive in the game. My certification.
You know, I came across.
Oh, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Oh, and then my certification. Muscle activation techniques is a special, it's in the fitness field, but a lot of physical therapists and not a lot, some chiropractors and physical therapists also hold the certification. I am currently seeking the highest level of what muscle activation techniques offers, which is called the full body RF. And I also am a certified exercise physiologist, through the American College of Sports Medicine. I have a master's degree in health and science, or science management and health promotion. So I'm out here, you know, promoting health and science, and a bachelor's degree in physical therapy. And that's it. I've also studied in the resistance training specialist program, which is some of the highest level exercise mechanics and physics education out there.
Awesome. I came across a blog post that is probably a couple of years ago, and that was through the Alexandria Soccer Association, and it really resonated with me, because while I think we know about it in the back of our mind, I don't think we really place a lot of emphasis on this and the importance of it. It's the idea of having a pre-session routine. Mm-hmm. And the one example that you had in there was these athletes, these young athletes who we deal with here in the West Virginia Soccer Association, is going from school, where they're there 7 to 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. and then going into playing competitive soccer with their high school team. Now, here in West Virginia, we're right in the middle of the high school soccer season. Why don't you just give us a little bit of a background about that pre-session routine and what your thoughts are on that?
Well, this whole term and terminology is a creation that another coach and I had. And that coach is a mental trainer. So she works on the psychology side and I work on the physical side. And Alexandria Soccer is progressive enough where we believe that this is, it's a well worth the investment for our performance and, you know, the culture of the club. So her name is Robin. And the idea of transition comes from flow state and creating the best opportunity for our children to learn and compete. And the flow state, you have to have the right ingredients to achieve it. And what I mean by that is you have to be mentally tuned in, physically tuned in, and understand like the environment that you're in. And what we came up with was a routine that could get our players into that space in the most efficient way. So it involves, you know, breathing techniques. It involves muscle activation techniques or exercises. And it's essentially four different things that you go through to get ready. And then when you're ready, that is the start of, like, your team warm-up, your dynamic warm-up, right? So
right.
I'm not claiming that all of our kids do this by any means. It is what we are setting forth as the best example. And so we want to – this all came about because we want to avoid – kids just getting to the pitch and kicking the ball in the net and then starting their practice,
which is what a lot of players do when they get to the field.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. And so then that was one goal. And then the other goal was we have them 3 times a week in academy, and that in the amount of content that we have to teach them, and the stuff that they have to grasp and execute, we believe that they need every single minute of that training time. And so so the mental piece of it is so important. So the transition means you are respecting that space that you're walking into and becoming more flow and more receptive to learning. And being able to cut off the ties that you have, whatever's going on with school, whatever's going on at home, and be able to focus and be accountable to your teammates and your coach. So the goal is to make the warm-up fluid. So the dynamic warm-up is something that we do with the team. I call that team time. The pre-session routine is going to be very specific technique. So we have something called active stretches, and then we have dynamic isometrics, and then we have a couple breathing cues. So this is only like 10 minutes of activity. And by doing all, you know, three or four of those things, you are addressing the mental and the physical component of getting ready and transitioning to learning and being in the flow state with your team.
Can you go ahead and give us some examples of some of those areas in that pre-session routine?
Yeah. So let's say let's start with the mental side. So the breathing exercises that we teach kids, we have something called the box breath. And the box breath is a belly breath where you inhale for 4 seconds or whatever, 5 or 6. I do 6 seconds. You inhale for 4 seconds and you expand your diaphragm. You hold that breath for 4 seconds. Then you exhale for 4 seconds. And then you're with 0 breaths or inhalation for 4 seconds. So you create this box. And you do that 4 times. So that's less than a minute. And on the last time, cue the players to hone in on their goal, visually picture what success will look like for that practice session or that game. And so that's like 1 minute. And then our physical part of that, I teach the players something called active stretches. These are not the stretches that we learned as high schoolers, you and I, peer to peer. these are a component. These are things that I made up, that I created for soccer players based on the neuromuscular techniques that I use every day with my clients and athletes. So active stretches, and I have a public Alexandria Soccer Fit Instagram that we can share so people can see them. And they are, they have an isometric muscle component. And then we do basically some hip isometrics and core isometrics. And then they're done. And then they jump into either touching a ball and doing something rhythmic with counting of some sort. They have a goal. They say, okay, I'm going to do 20 touches with my left foot. And then, you know, then they're ready. The rhythmic movements do have a very special component to transitioning and doing the pre-session routine. And that has to do with how the tendons respond to rhythmic motion, like jumping jacks or like hopping on one leg. And also the body temperature and heartbeat starts to rise, which we need that too. And then, and we, you know, as a team, as their coach, the physical, you know, the fitness coach, I want to clearly communicate these values that they're creating with their body, and the time that they're taking is such a great opportunity for them to perform at their best and have an awesome training session. And that's it. And then they go in there to dynamic warm up as a team.
It's funny how you were mentioning, I remember playing sports when I was younger and never would have even thought about, a lot of the stuff that you're talking about, but you know, kids, have a lot of noise and just in their lives, ranging from things from school, an upcoming test, a fight with their best friend, parental pressure. You've got demands if you're an athlete from your coach, from your teammates. You know, my first touch today at training was rubbish. I'm having problems with that. There's just, and social media is another, you know, example of noise in a young athlete's life. And I think the idea of having something that is a pre-session routine that can get you in the correct mind frame, to be receptive to learning, whatever you're going to learn in training or preparing yourself for a match, and having that focus is just so important.
I mean, let's not forget, as quickly as they are distracted and super overly engaged in the drama of their life, right? They are just as quick to unfold and disconnect. You would be shocked how quickly these kids respond to that breathing exercise. It blew me away. Like I, as a young athlete, a teenager, was introduced to this kind of stuff and yoga and taking care of my body. And I always knew that it carried a really long-term benefit to my college years, playing and being a student and, you know, so on and so forth. But when I've experienced it as the teacher, I am blown away by how quickly they are able, their brains are able to adapt to this idea and tune into their body and tune into their intentions. But we have to give them the space to do it. We have to give them the opportunity to apply this kind of thing. So I found that at my club, we really had to tell the coaches how important it was to be on time and be completely present for their players. Because if they don't set that standard, the kids aren't going to care. Alexandria Soccer has hired me to be that person. I have this like area in the middle of the field in one of our main complexes. And I have like a little area where each team has the opportunity to work with me. It's not mandatory, but we schedule pre-session routines, and they come 20 minutes early to practice and report right to me. And this is, and so we'll do that, what I just outlined, for 10 minutes, and then we do extra stuff because I'm there. So we'll do another 10 minutes of just injury prevention and knee injury prevention exercises. And, but I mean, you got to hold that space for them. So as a coach who doesn't have a fitness coach, you guys have to be present and hold space for your players and be able to explain to them that they can be comfortable walking into a space for them. And if we show up and we're frustrated at the traffic and frustrated at our dog for, you know, not making it to the bathroom on time or like whatever it is, you can't expect your players to do that. So I think this is a big leadership move as well.
I agree 100%. I think too, just in hearing this, having something like this has got to bring some comfort to players,
mm-hmm.
being able to just to tune out all that noise and just be comfortable in how things are going when they go through this, you know, type of pre-session routine and stuff. It's just got to have some sort of peace of mind for the players, I would think.
Yeah. I mean, I know the parents love it. And having, when you walk into a coaching session, the kids know if you're irritated or ready for them. They know. Yeah, I just think that part is so important. I cannot overemphasize that one. I think the other thing that is really important to pick out is the priming. And that is the activations and making sure that we're engaging the kids in exercises that are going to activate them, not down-regulate them. Does that... So when I say that, I mean down-regulate from a physical point of view is static stretching. And so any coach who's done some research in the last 10 years about warm-ups should understand that static stretching is much inferior to dynamic stretching for preparing a player to exercise and play. And
that research is out there, yet you still see, and it just blows me away.
Yeah.
How much, you know, that the team will, you know, get in a circle and toe touches 1, 2,
yeah.
3, 4, you know, blows me away.
Let's think about this this is such a cool takeaway for the coaches. So static stretching is a down regulator of the nervous system. It is telling something to relax. Literally, that's what you're trying. That's the goal of stretching. It has a place and there's a time for it. It's not before you play. So that targets one area of the brain in the cortical area. And active isometrics and activations and dynamic stretches, when they're done properly, just flinging limbs and hips through the air is not what I'm not acceptable at Alexandria when I'm there. yeah, one person for like 400 kids. When I'm there, it's not acceptable. So when we do an activation properly, we are targeting something called the musculotendinous junction. That's where the muscle inserts into the tendon. And 4 to 6 areas of the brain for learning, coordination, and essentially the readiness of the muscle. Which one would you prefer? You know what I mean? Like, it's the same amount of time.
Right.
And so doing an active component to your warm-up is so important. And then building up that tempo is what the dynamic warm-up should be. they shouldn't accept walking into the dynamic warm-up feeling like heavy and crappy. They should take care. Right. Like we tell them, you have to take care of that on your own. If you walk into a training session and your legs are heavy, you're doing yourself a disservice. And it's okay to feel uncomfortable for a day, even 2 days. You can get away with that. And a lot, especially with these double sports. But if you do that week in and week in and week out, you're asking for trouble. And so, again, we're holding a space for them to actually work on that. And back to that peace of mind comment, it's huge that these kids have someone to come and actually say, I feel this. This doesn't feel right. Because as a coach, that's not your job. Like, you're not a physical therapist. How can you possibly manage 15 people and injury concerns at the same time? You can't. So the fact that these teams have just someone even to email and talk to and ask questions to is huge. So as a club director, if you're listening, it's a wonderful investment to have a supplement coach like myself. Not supplement coach. I'm a supplementary coach, support coach.
Right. Now, I think also too, and you mentioned it when you were talking there. I've always done the dynamic warm up using the FIFA 11 plus warm up system, and I saw so many great benefits from doing that program as part of our dynamic warm up. Yep. I don't think coaches think about the idea that doing a proper warm-up is going to help keep your athletes.
Yeah.
The odds of them getting injured decreases so much.
Oh my God.
And especially, you know, as you get through the middle of the season and then you start getting, you know, you get, start getting some injuries or even early season. I see a lot of players that, you know, that may not play soccer year round in at the high school level. They play 3 months out of the year. They get injured a whole lot quicker. I think that component just is worth the price of admission.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the thing about the FIFA 11, it's so solid. It's so easy. I've modified basic, different versions of it over the time. And it has planks and side planks in it, right? Like, what more do you need to, like, that's, what more do you need to know? Like, it's all active. Like, those kids should feel ready, really plugged in to play after they do that properly. And that's the whole point. It's like this tempo buildup. And, oh, I have one more. Yeah, I have another good tip. The lingo that we use.
Okay.
I just said tempo, and I was talking about our readiness and getting ready. How important is tempo when you're teaching at the youth level? You know what I mean? And
right.
Like, how many times do we say that in regards to a team pattern or a team movement? And then we don't use any of those concepts in the warm-up. So we have one warm-up activity, what we call them rondo runs. And that's really what they are. It's doing dynamic runs inside of a rondo. And our club is pretty married to rondos, by the way. And
as am I.
Okay, yeah. So we do these little shuffle runs and like hop with the four cones. And within that activity, we are coaching them and cueing them to check their shoulder and use their body position, just like you would in a rondo. So it's I've created every single warm-up activity that we have to be able to tell our kids what we're about to engage in and tell them, you know, being able to cue them and what our goals are. This goes back to that visualization and the breathing techniques, making things consistent and, you know, showing up ready to be consistent as a coach, like all bleeds into this. It's just this, I don't know. I think it's just a wonderful way to think about and executing a warm up.
All right, we're going to wrap up our conversation here, Jennifer. If I can, you know, in a minute, 2 minutes, can you just give me the biggest piece of advice that you would give to coaches and players from your point of view in what we were talking about today that they should be doing or looking to do?
Yeah, I think as far as being an effective coach and an effective coach parent of an athlete, I think it's important to talk about injury prevention as a activity within itself. It is an active component of being an athlete. And if it, so as a coach, you can gather resources and other professionals and community members. Believe me, people like me, small business owners, we want to be involved. And involving people that have an expertise in some way into your team environment and your team culture. And the same with the parents. The parents really have to detach, you know, from being too, I don't know, what, off hands with injury prevention or being too on hands with injury prevention. It kind of goes both ways. Finding that happy medium where your child trusts you or the coach enough to come to you and talk to you about how their body is feeling is a skill and a level of confidence that we are just not teaching children these days. And I think it could go so far beyond soccer as far as a life skill goes, you know? So body confidence and injury prevention should be a part of the conversation as far as well-rounded soccer players.
I agree 100%. Jennifer, I certainly appreciate you coming on the show today. If people are needing more information and would like to reach out to you, how can they reach you and where can they go on social media to find you?
Yeah, so social media, I have basically three channels that I'm pretty active on. And one of those is Twitter at Jen Impact. And you'll find all of my soccer blogs attached to that and some videos. On Instagram, you can find all of like my exercise library for the kids, essentially. That's how I use it, at AlexandriaSock_fit. And then my rehab and muscle activation techniques practice on Instagram is at @impact_your_fitness, impact your fitness. And I'm active on all three of those, so those are really good ways to get in touch with me.
And there's just so much information out there from you and that coaches, players, and parents can consume, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, especially on the Twitter is where you'll find all the blogs that I post on there a lot. And that'll and it's mostly through Alexandria Soccer, which we have a lot of content that is community focused and wanting to educate everyone on what, you know, what it means to grow the game, you know.
Awesome. Jennifer, I thank you so much for coming on the show today. I appreciate your time and your insight.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for sharing it.